Okay, this morning we meet together at the end of October. We've still got a week, but it's the last Sunday in October. We start on the run in towards Christmas. Don't want to, you know, be like the shops here, but we're heading up. But unlike the shops who pressurise us into thinking, oh no, it's Christmas, our run up to Christmas is exciting. We're looking forward to the coming of a saviour. In Isaiah, it says this: the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. Isaiah spoke that to people, and then years later, Jesus arrived and said, today this is fulfilled in me. We look forward to Jesus coming, and we look forward to Christmas, but we start by worshipping him this morning. So let's stand together and sing, Praise is Rising. Let's stand and sing.
I just wanted to share with you that Hannah and Grace are going to need to be bridesmaids next year, because after 11 years, finally James and I are going to walk down the aisle on the 11th. So on the 11th of July, my dad, who's a vicar, for those of you who don't know my family, is marrying us over at Ersham Church in Bungay. And then we're going to have Ringsfield Hall, for those of you who know Ringsfield Hall. And then a couple of weeks later, we're going to have an evening reception here in Cambridge, so that we can invite everybody else, because there's so many people we want to have there. So I just wanted to let you all know, in case you hear any gossip.
Very good news. Let's just pray for them as a family. Father, we thank you for James and Andrea and Hannah and Grace. Thank you for that family. We thank you for their commitment to each other. And we thank you for this wonderful date to look forward to, where they will get married, where they will make promises before you. And we pray, Lord, for a smooth journey to that point, for all the things that need to be arranged, but also for the relationship as they travel towards this, that, Lord, you would walk with them. And that, Lord, you would bless them and keep them. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's stand and sing and continue to work to take up our offering during this next song as we sing together. Well, you're all looking very expectant. Which is good, I guess. This morning, we are going to continue our series on the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We've made our way to kindness. And this morning, I'm going to say a few things, but also you're going to have opportunity to discuss a few things in group. Not anything very difficult or taxing, just things about kindness, if you wish to do that. So I'm going to read from Galatians. We've had this, obviously, a number of times because we're studying it, but it's good to hear parts of the Bible again and again. Of course, in my extreme organisedness, that's not a word, but there we are, I printed out another version, which is in the printer at home. So we're going to... The hour this morning, it sort of threw me. We're going to have same version as we had before, but we're not going to look at it on the screen, so just listen to what the Bible has to say to us. I had a lecturer at college who used to say, and it could be a quote from someone else, we don't read the Bible, the Bible reads us. So let's sit and listen and see what God has to say. Galatians 5, starting at verse 13. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbour as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. I really like this one. In fact, I just thought about singing it, but anyway. We're going to start with just discussion. So, in groups, if you feel threatened at all by this, don't worry, you can just sit and not be involved, it's not a problem. But there are a number of questions which will appear on the screen, so you'll see that they are not at all, threatening or anything, hopefully, if they come up. So you can decide whether you want to get into a group to discuss those or not, but it'd be really great just to get together groups of, I don't know, what you'd like. I don't like to specify. It's like large, some people like small. Or think about them on your own or chat briefly together. I'll just give you a few moments to do that. 5 or 10 if you're chatting a lot. Enjoy. Okay, I wonder if we could draw back together. I just was chatting with a group, and it's interesting, we're finding it hard to define kindness. I don't know whether others got to that and were struggling with that. Anyone got anything they want to say? Any comments, feedback from that? Putting yourself in the shoes of the other person, definition of kindness. Yeah. There is. Yeah. Random Acts of Kindness. It's a website. I watched them giving away free hugs the other day as their Random Acts of Kindness. Some people like that, some people not so. Wasn't for some, but you know. But no, they do lots of different things. To make the world a better place is what their sort of ethos is. But kindness actually is quite a difficult word to pin down and define. In the dictionary, it says considerate, friendly and helpful, having a warm-hearted nature, pleasant and agreeable. They're all nice words, aren't they? Still doesn't really... The dictionary would also say that if you were a kind-hearted person, you would be someone who is sympathetic, kind, generous, helpful, tender, mean, compassionate, gracious, amicable, considerate, and good-natured. You'd be an awful. Because kindness, even in the dictionary, is very hard to describe. It's really hard to pin it down, to define exactly what it is. Because often it overlaps, doesn't it? Lots of other words like gracious and generous and lots of other concepts. You can't really have it on its own. If you look it up in the Bible, especially in different translations, if you read translations where the word kindness appears, it's often interchanged with words like compassion and grace and love and goodness. Because they're all interlinked. And they have many other different meanings as well. It's a difficult word to grasp hold of. However, if we use it to describe someone, when we were talking maybe about different people or things that we've seen or people that have helped us this week, we find it a bit easier. We can say that person is caring or thoughtful or helpful, but it's still putting your finger on kind is really hard. It's not really a strong word, is it? It's not really a, yes, you're really kind. It's not got a great depth of meaning in a way. And it's not got any real theological basis either. It's not actually mentioned many times in the Bible. It's not some great concept behind it that hasn't been fathomed out yet. It's simply kindness, another way of describing nice and helpful. And yet here it is in a list of words to describe the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the things of God. In amongst love, which is so rich and deep, we then have kindness, which just seems a little bit bland in a way. You know, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. The characteristics of life. Kindness. And I guess it's here because first and foremost, it is also a characteristic of God. The character of Almighty God, which is probably quite surprising, because of all the words we would use to describe God, it's not really very strong. We have words like almighty, all-powerful, everlasting, all-sufficient, faithful, merciful, the great I am. And we also have words to describe God that we don't really even understand, but they sound amazing. Omnipresent, omnipotent, the Alpha, the Omega. We're sanctified, we're redeemed. We have all these rich biblical words and also others that we do understand, like loving and good and forgiving and gracious. But the word kindness, kind, is not really the first one we jump to. If someone were to say, could you describe God? I don't know whether many of us would say, well, God is kind. It's not the word that jumps into our minds. It seems a little bit too shallow for the one we call wonderful counsellor and almighty God. And yet kindness is one of the things that God is known for. In the book of Acts, it says this, God has shown kindness by giving you rain from heaven and crops in their seasons.